This week's parasha is a double portion. Nitzavim, meaning those taking a stand, and Vayilech, meaning and he went. And it covers Deuteronomy 29:9 through 31:30. In last week's parasha, Moses promised the Israelis that obedience to God's commandments would bring blessings, and warned that disobedience would bring a curse upon the nation. In chapter 29, Moses brings all Israel together one final time before they enter the promised land, and to remind them of the covenant that God had given them. He reminds them of the great trials that they had to endure in the wilderness these past 40 years due to their disobedience. Moses tells the Israelis to keep the words of this covenant and to do them that they may prosper. The two important words in this statement are to keep and to do. The Hebrew word shamar, translated keep, conveys the idea of watching over, guarding, or preserving. The word asah, to do, usually means to perform some type of labor. The use of the verbs like this in tandem is meant to show us that just how important Moses' message is. And he doesn't just remind the men, but the women and children too, and the foreigners that are in the camp as well. He instructs them that those that are not yet born are under this covenant as well. They are again reminded that failure to follow God's decrees will bring a curse upon them, and the whole world will know that it is because they disobeyed their God. As we know, Israel did not keep the covenant, and the curses contained in the previous chapters were brought upon them. But that's not the end of the story. In chapter 30, Moses tells them that the three-in-one God will forgive them when they repent. The curse will be replaced with blessings. This is the prophetic portrait of our Messiah, Yeshua. Some of those blessings that are already in place today that we have received by Yeshua's atoning sacrifice. We will see the rest of those blessings when he returns and the chosen nation bows the knee to Messiah. Moses reminds the people that they should choose life as God has instructed and obey the Lord's commandments, but they fail to obey all the Lord's commands just as we do today. Since our nature has been corrupted by the fall and is now depraved and not good. As Isaiah tells the people that we are a people of unclean lips. Worthiness is simply beyond our ability. But in Messiah Yeshua, who is worthy, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can obey. But it is all his merit, not our own. In chapter 30, verse 6, God promises to circumcise the hearts of our people. This signifies the need for much more than an outward sign, but truly a change in who we are in order for us to desire and obey Adonai. In Jeremiah 31:31, God promises that in the course of time, he would make a new covenant with us that he would put the law into our hearts and remember our sin no more. Praise God for that. This is exactly what the Holy Spirit does for each human being when we transfer our loyalty to Messiah Yeshua. We receive forgiveness of sin and are reconciled to God. But this transformation is only possible through the new covenant that Jeremiah foretold and which Messiah Yeshua has inaugurated. And it isn't only for the Jewish nation, but for people from all nations. El Elyon, the Most High God, also tells us that he was a husband to us, but we failed to keep our fidelity to him. Ouch. The The Haftarah reading that accompanies this parasha is Hosea chapter 14, where Gomer was likewise unfaithful to her husband, the prophet. Funny how we can see the problem with Gomer and think Hosea is a fool for taking her back over and over again. But we miss the point that we are the ones who are repeatedly unfaithful to God. Yet he forgives us over and over and over again. The scriptures speak again and again of God's great compassion towards us, and his anger is not forever. Brothers and sisters, praise God that he has more grace and mercy for us than we have for others. With the high holidays almost upon us, we need to make a renewed commitment to be obedient to his word. Will you make that commitment? In chapter 31, Moses, who is now 120 years old, informs the nation that he will not be going into the promised land with them. He tells them that Joshua will lead them. We remember that aside from Moses and Aaron, only two people out of that entire generation, Joshua and Caleb, were willing to obey God and go in to the land some 40 years earlier. Therefore, these will be the only two from that generation to enter the land with this new generation of Israel. Think about that. Moses reminds them that Adonai will go ahead of them and destroy their enemies. That's good news. Then Moses writes down the law and gives it to the priests and instructs them to read it every 7 years. And this formal reading was to be done on the Feast of Booth, also known as Sukkot. Again, the Lord reminds Israel that they will forsake him and break the covenant, and that he will hide his face from them when they turn to other gods. Now, there are some in the church today who, when they read these verses about Israel's failure to follow the Lord's commandments and the curse that he put upon them, come to the conclusion that God is finished with his Jewish people. This is an example of cherry picking in the verses in the Word and changing their meaning by ignoring the context. Have we forgotten the warning in Deuteronomy 4:2? You shall not add to the word that I command, nor take anything from it. We see in Romans 9:11 that El Gabor, the mighty God, is most definitely not done with his chosen people and intends to keep his promises to restore and to prosper them. Some have conveniently ignored the promises of Israel's restoration or have suggested that those promises have been reassigned to the church. But as Rabbi Lauren and Rabbi Glenn often tell us, if the literal sense makes sense, seek no other sense. Sometimes he adds, or you'll be full of nonsense. I like that. The promises made to Israel are for Israel. Let's consider some application from today's scripture. The Lord told us to keep his word and to do them. So it stands to reason that we need to know his word, to remain in him, to be close to him. The way that we do that are by consistently reading his word, studying it, and in prayer. Brothers and sisters, are you close to the Lord? Sure, it's easy to feel close to the Lord when you are here in the congregation, worshiping and listening to the word. But are you still close to the Lord when you leave, when you're on your own? What are you doing for his kingdom? Outside of these walls, are people aware of what you believe? Does your neighbor know that you believe in Yeshua? How about your co-workers? Do they know? Brothers and sisters, this is where the rubber meets the road. Your work for the Lord doesn't end at this door. It begins at this door. And for those of you who have not yet committed to following Yeshua, you need to open up the door to your heart and do the work of the Lord every day, every week, all year. And see what a difference he will make in your life and then what a difference he'll make in the lives of people around you. Amen.